Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Pamela Latour's Secrets of the Soul, a weekly hour of insights, increased awareness, and inspiration. Call the show at 8:15 if you would like a reading or with comments or questions. The number to call is 646-716-9663, and then press 1 on the keypad. Again, 646-716-9663. Or join the Spiritual Connections live chat. Create a username by registering with Blog Talk Radio. Secrets of the soul are the secrets we share. Thank you for sharing your soul with me.
My lover's face is mine. Oh, oh.
Well, happy Monday evening, Memorial Day. It is 8 o'clock on Mondays, and thanks for joining me, as usual, on Monday night. This is Pamela Latour, your host of Secrets of the Soul. And I'm sorry, we have such a confusion, it seems, when the music starts. For some reason, Blog Talk, it always gets messed up, and it starts the music for Spiritual Connections Radio, which is Thursday night show. So anyway, I finally got it straightened out. Everything's worked out fine so far. Tonight, we're going to be doing a special show called The Power to Change Reality. Now, The Power to Change Reality is an interesting concept because it relates to who we are and how we want our life to be. Now, on Friday, this Friday, I'm going to be keynote speaker doing a workshop in a big expo in Chicago called the Schomburg Convention Center. That's Friday, May 31st at 4 o'clock, between 4 and 6. If you're in the Chicago area or if you're going to be in the Chicago area on the 31st, please come by and come to the workshop because it's going to be an amazing experience. This is the subject, the power to change reality. We're going to talk a lot more about that. We're going to work on our own concepts of life and how life works for us individually, because everybody's life is different, everyone's belief is different, everybody's concepts of how life should be and what makes them happy so is different. So this idea of spending 2 hours just working on yourself, it can be life-changing. So please come. 4 to 6, Schomburg Convention Center, Chicago, Illinois. Anyway, let's talk about the subject. There's three aspects of creating reality. The first one is knowing what it is that you want. You know, I've taught this subject for so many years. It's become crystal clear to me that the biggest problem with creating reality is that most of us have no clue what we really want. So, and it's almost like if you admit that you want something, if you admit that you want anything, it's almost like you're on the way to hell somehow. You know, you've just opened the doors to Pandora's box, or some horrible evil might befall you for being selfish enough to want something. And even though that's a bit dramatic, which I have a tendency to be, the real issue is when you don't know what you what you really want. You don't know. You're liable to end up there. What was that quote? I can't remember the quote exactly. It said that if you basically to kind of say it in my own words, if you don't know where I guess I'm not saying it in my own words, am I? If you don't know where you're going, chances are you'll get there. You know, you're gonna wander around. It's really important to have a passionate goal, something that excites you, something that's interesting, that you're passionate about. Now, so many people, they come to my seminars, they come to do these creation workshops, and they really believe that somehow life is just going to shift and change and they're going to be wonderfully happy without really understanding who they are and what they want from life. And it just doesn't work that way. You need to discover your passion. What is the most passionate, powerful part of you? What is it that drives you? When you were a kid, as an example, when you were little and you were sick, and you weren't that sick, but you were staying home from school. It was one of those days where, you know, you were kind of recuperating and you were feeling pretty good, but you weren't really, your mother hadn't decided to send you to school. One of those days. What did you do all day? What did you do? Did you play with cars? Did you cut out pictures from magazines? What is it that excites you? What is it that inspires you? What is it that makes you feel? We live in a feeling universe. And without this concept of emotion driving our intention, driving our attention, we lead an unexamined life at that point. There is absolutely no way to become who you are supposed to be, to live your potential, to give what it is that you were here to give. There's no way to do that if you don't really know who you are and where you're going. How do you find out who you are? Well, you think about your emotions. That means that during the day, you pay attention to what you're feeling. That's the start of it. You pay attention to what makes you smile spontaneously, just without thinking, just something that makes you smile. What was it? Babies or puppies or money or someone else's pure, nice smile for no reason. You know, what makes you smile spontaneously? What is it that you really enjoy doing? Keep a little journal at the end of the day. What was the highlight of my day? What was the most fun that I've had today? What was the most amazing thing that happened to me? What was I most grateful for? And make a little journal as to what it is that you're really happy about, that you really were driven toward, what you really cared about today. And we're going to get into gratitude, hopefully, in a little bit. But right now, I just want to mention it as if it was a high note, if it was something that happened during the day that you were specifically grateful for, then to write that down. Because you'll start seeing patterns in your emotions. This is who I am. This is who I am. It's what I really want. Now, sometimes our impulses can be very almost negative. What really drives you? For example, people that are driven to alcoholism or that smoke a lot or drugs. What happens there is those are impulses that are destructive impulses on top of your heart's desire. And you won't let yourself look at or feel that heart's desire. You've squashed it years ago. And because you've squashed it years ago, you need something. You need to feel that in some way.
So those impulses come out in a negative fashion. Now, if you begin looking at those impulses and not pushing them away, and I'm not necessarily saying that you should indulge those impulses. I'm saying that you need to examine them. Once you examine those impulses, even if they're negative, for a path that will take you somewhere else. In other words, how is it that I could feel this way without creating this negative impulse? How is it that I could experience this? For example, sometimes, let's say, for example, you're drinking too much. And underneath that drinking, you feel the impulse becomes, well, I just want to be loved. I just want someone to love. I don't feel good enough. I want to be famous because that's what would make you feel good enough. Whatever that impulse is, that is the key, the secret key to unlock your heart's desire. And your heart's desire is not a selfish thing. It is actually opening yourself to your true potential. Without your heart's desire, you're just another mass person in an unexamined sleeping life. So, the first section of this is obviously to find out what your heart's desire really is and what you really want. Now, there's a quote from Henry David Thoreau that I like to read in the creation workshop portion. And it says, "What lies before us and what lies behind us are small matters compared to what lies within us. And bring what is within out into the world. Miracles happen." Now, the whole subject of the power to create reality begins with knowing yourself, knowing who you are, knowing what your passions are, what you really want to do in life, and be patient with yourself. Don't demand it immediately. Don't demand, I need to know what this is right now. Be patient. Examine your life a little. And breathe into this, whatever you're feeling at the time. And let that impulse move through you. Because the less you resist your life, the more you're going to be able to catch that impulse. The more you're going to be able to catch, that's what it is. That's who I am. That's what I want. Now, the second aspect of the creation process is threefold. Now, this is a simple little equation, and it goes like this. Imagination plus emotion equals creation. Imagination plus emotion equals creation. Now, in the Keys of Life, which is a two-day seminar series. In the Keys of Life, the number six key is this. This is the creation process. Imagination plus emotion equals creation. We change life in every moment by thinking of a form, an image, an imagined scene, and then adding emotion to it. Okay, so let's take what we were talking about a few minutes ago, on paying attention to what you're feeling. Because feeling will take you in so many different directions. In a day, in one day, it'll feel like you've been drugged through the ringer, like you're sitting on the edge of the beach with the waves hitting you, waves of emotion hitting you all day long. Think about something we really enjoy, something that was really fun that we did. And it makes us feel happy for a few seconds. And then we think about something that we really are resisting in our lives, something that we don't want to do, something that we dislike. And our energy completely changes, our emotional state completely changes, and we're in resistance. Now, what happens when you move into resistance is that you push the whatever it is you're thinking about, you push it away from you with your energy. It's not an intentional thing. It's just an impulse that pushes away what it is that you don't like or you've judged as something not good or bad in your world. And when you push it away, the energy that you're pushing against literally just slows down. Just like if you, let's see. We're talking about electricity. I'm trying to think of how to explain this better. We're really talking about electricity. And as you push away with your energy, now we're talking energetically, you say, no, I don't like this, and you're pushing away, what happens is that energy is slowing down slower and slower and slower and slower and slower till it sticks to you. In other words, sticking to you, I mean, when you're not thinking about it and you're not at all connected to the uncomfortable situation, it'll pop back up in your head and you'll think about it again and you'll feel about it just like you did at the moment that it happened. Let's say a fender bender, you get into a fender bender and you get upset about it, and obviously you judge this as not a good thing, something that you don't want to happen. And on top of that, the guy that hit you when it was his fault gets out of his car and starts yelling at you. So you're really in resistance to this. In other words, your body is pushing against the experience. Now your day goes on and everything is fine. And you kind of recuperate from the minor trauma. You have to go through the insurance and do all the things you have to do, which is a bit painful, but you have decided that it's just to chalk it up to life and you're going to go on. Well, the next morning you get up and you're getting ready for work or you're getting ready for your day, and you're not thinking about anything really. You're just kind of beginning to move through the day. You haven't had your coffee yet, and this experience will pop back up again in your head. Your body does not know the difference between real and imagined, so it will feel once again just like it felt at the time that it happened. You're in this experience and you're feeling what this feels like, and your body regenerates the whole thing as though it was happening at the moment. And it slows it down and makes it more powerful, more stronger in your body. Because whatever you put your attention on this, in this world becomes more solid, it becomes heavier. So this happens a few times over and over again. Then you have another experience that you were resisting. Then another experience that you're resisting. And as you go through your life, there's many, many, many of these. From the time you're little and you get yelled at by someone to perhaps not getting the grade that you wanted in school, to having a confrontation with a teacher, being rejected by a girlfriend or boyfriend, to, you know, and the experience goes on and on. The experiences go on and on to the point that we have all of this resistance, this resisted experience that stuck to us. That's what people call luggage. And oftentimes, something small will happen and there'll be too big of a reaction. Have you ever had that? Where you have such a big reaction to something, like you explode over something small and everybody's looking at you like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. And you honestly think that about yourself as well for a few minutes. And then you realize that it wasn't that particular incident that caused the drama. It was this chain of resisted incidents that cause the drama. And it builds up on an unconscious level in your body. Now, when you go to create something, the interesting thing is, we've already talked about this, imagination plus emotion equals creation. And we do it automatically all the time. We imagine something, a situation, we feel what that would feel like if it was happening in the moment right now. And then we release it. We let it go to the universe and it ends up coming back to us. Now, if it is something that you are creating that you have told yourself over and over again in a resisted way, in a way that says, I really can't have this, or I don't deserve this, or I'm not good enough to get this, or I don't have enough money to get this, whatever the issue is, or there's nobody around me that's like that person that I want in my life, whatever the situation is, if you've got resisted creations that you've already put in place, and then you tried to create over the top of it. In other words, you say, well, forget about all that I created before. Right now, what I want to do is I want to bring this special person into my life, or I want to create enough money for a new car, or whatever it is that, however it is that you want to change your life, either superficially, you know, meaning the things around you, what I want to do, and there's nothing wrong with superficial. It's all the same energy. Or meaning I want a new car, I want a new job, I want a new life in some way. Or if it's a beingness, in other words, this is who I would like to be. I want to be a person of character, of honesty, of integrity, of humor, I want to make people laugh, whatever it is that you want to be, whatever it is that you're generating is the idea. When you're generating something and you're generating it over the top of a creation that you've already made that said, you're not good enough, you're not funny, you're not happy, you're not prosperous, you're not healthy, you're not whatever, and you've created this already, and then you try to create over the top of it, it's almost like this little, it's like this little layer of nail polish over a big pile of poop. I don't know where I got that analogy. I've heard it recently, but it's accurate. It's so accurate. You put a little nail polish on this big pile of manure that you've already generated. It doesn't work. And, you know, unfortunately, the movie documentary kind of thing that they've created called The Secret. In The Secret, the concept of ask, believe, receive, which is the whole foundation of The Secret, although it's technically accurate, it leaves way too much out. Because if someone picks that up and says, okay, well, and someone that doesn't know any better and says, okay, well, I'm going to try this. I'm going to just ask the universe for this, and I'm going to really believe it and then expect it to happen. It could happen if they didn't have a lot of resisted experience already that says that it won't. Now, let's talk for a minute about forgiveness. Because forgiveness is an interesting concept. I don't, you know, I am talking about forgiving other people that have hurt you. I'm also talking about forgiving yourself for generating this big pile of manure. I hope I'm not offending anybody. Now, this concept of creating something and then trying to create over the top of it. You know, keep in mind that all of this stuff that you've created before that says, I'm not good enough, I can't do it, whatever the issue is, that stuff that you created is resistance. You don't like it. You don't like being not good enough. You don't like being in this position where you can't seem to make a bologna sandwich and get out of your own way. You can't do it. And you keep telling yourself, I can't do it. I want to do it, but I can't. Well, then he tried generating something on the top of that, and what happens is it just fizzles out because the first creation, the manure creation, was the most powerful. And we live in an emotional universe. And whatever you think about and feel with the most emotional passion, with the most emotional power, is what will happen.
Interesting, huh?
The most emotional power, that's what's going to happen. So, how do you get to a point where you can generate enough clean emotional power without all that stuff that you've generated before coming to bite you? This is how you do it. As I said before, we live in an electrical universe that's driven by emotion. Emotion is electrical. So, you've got this emotion that says, this creation that you've already generated that says, I want it, but I can't have it. And you become aware of this because you're watching your emotional state. You're watching. You're watching. You say, oh, what am I feeling that for? What do I feel that way for? And is that story really the story I want? Is that story really what I want to create? Does that work for me? For example, I don't know if you've ever had the experience. I think it's a pretty common experience for humanity in general, that when one thing starts breaking, everything starts breaking. And I've had this happen to me several times in my life where one thing starts breaking, everything starts breaking. And I'm sure it's because you get your attention so stuck on, well, now I have to fix this, and it's seems so heavy that it starts generating over and over again in your life. And it happens for several reasons, but for me, that seems to be the biggest thing. I used to blow out electrical things when I was teaching. I'd come into a room and click on the light and blow out 6 light bulbs all at once. But that's not what happened to me yesterday night. We're renovating. My husband and I are renovating this new house. And we put in this beautiful wooden floor in the master bedroom and the closet. And we had a problem with our air conditioning. The air conditioning man came and he said, well, we have to order this part. In the interim, before the part comes, I'm going to, what did he do? He bypassed some circuit inside the AC unit so that we could run the AC, but we have to turn it off and on with a breaker. Okay, that's fine. That works. What we didn't realize is that in that whole process, something got disconnected and the water from the AC unit was running out on the floor underneath our brand new wooden floor and warped the floor. When I realized this, at first I didn't know where the water was coming from. And then my husband and I tracked it down. And when I realized that the floor would have to be redone, or at least some of it, it was really upsetting to me. I was really upset. And I thought, well, we just put this in, and I'm so, you know, I've worked so hard to get this room perfect, and now look at it, and all this. And then I woke up this morning, and I thought to myself, do I want this story? Again, do I really want to tell myself this story and over and over again? Is it working? Is it really going to help me in any way? And every once in a while, and everybody does this, you bounce up to the surface of awareness where you say, wait a minute, what am I really doing here? Have you ever been in a fight with anyone, an argument with a spouse or a parent or a child? And you're in the middle of this fight, and then you pop up to the surface, and you ask yourself, what am I doing? Now, at that point, you have a choice of choosing to be toward your potential and to be who you could be, or to fall back into the drama of life. Always a choice. And the choices that you make, those little choices, will determine how much resistance you have in your body and how easy it is for you to alter life. So, let's see. We talked about imagination plus emotion equals creation. Now, I just want to mention this whole concept of attention because it's important to how we think about how life works. When you focus attention on it, it makes that something more solid. When you focus attention on anything, I should say. So you have a problem and you think about the problem and you put attention on the problem and you think about it and you put attention on it. That problem is going to be extremely real and very solid because of your attention. The real issue is the real solving fact here is if you focused your attention on the solution or on experiencing how it would feel to have a solution, even if you didn't know what the solution was, that's what will change the circumstances instead of generating more and more and more problem. Now, the way that we know this to be true is that in quantum physics, scientists were trying to figure out, okay, we know what an atom looks like. We basically have an understanding of that. What is a subatomic particle, a particle that makes up an atom? What is it? And they started looking at this and doing experiments on how these little particles behaved. And they found that the particle behaved like a wave. In other words, when I'm speaking to you, I'm moving the air that's coming out of your computer and it's hitting your ears and you can hear what I'm saying because it's a sound wave. Now, subatomic particles moved in waves as well. It's like these waves of pure potential. If you could see the entire universe, including the room that you're in, made up of this little grid of light waves. That's really what it is. Now, when you focus attention on that grid, an energy pattern develops and the experience becomes real. In other words, when the scientist would focus on the subatomic particles, the waves turned into particles. They weren't particles before, they were only waves. When the scientist put attention on the wave, it changed, it behaved differently. It became a subatomic particle. It generates tension. Attention generates matter. The universe begins aligning the atoms and slowing them down until it manifests in our lives. Now, when you think about an image of something, even if you've never seen this before, you think about an image of what it would look like. And then you let yourself feel more than yourself. You let your body feel like this is true. Now your body, this is fascinating stuff. Your body is your subconscious. That means that your body goes on automatic creation generator. It's an automatic creation generator, and it will generate experiences that you have told it that you are. Familiar experiences that you have told it that you can experience. That means that it will continuously generate experiences to give you what it is that you think and feel. So your life becomes very set because you're thinking and feeling a lot of the same things every day, and you'll experience a lot of the same things every day. Now, our body begins the creation process by connection to the universe and believing it's already true. Then it is. In other words, if you tell your body, for example, just by what you're thinking, you're thought that
not really good enough. I don't know if I can do that. I'm not really sure if I can do it. I'm not really sure if I'm up to the job. Whatever it is that you're saying, your body will begin creating experiences that show you that, because that's what you told it you were. And your body believes everything you say. I have this little sign in my front room that says, don't believe everything you think. Unfortunately, your body does believe everything you think. And it often completely traps us because we become where our attention is. We become our attention. Now, let me stop here for just a second and take a little break. I want to remind you that you're listening to Spiritual Connection Radio, Secrets of the Soul with Pamela Latour. I am Pamela Latour, your host tonight, and every Monday night at 8 o'clock. Now, I also want to tell you about Friday, the 31st of May. I will be a keynote speaker at Whole Life Expo. Whole Life Expo is going to be in, Schaumburg Convention Center in Chicago, Illinois. I think it's on Thoreau Drive or Thoreau Street in Chicago, Illinois. And I'm going to be doing a two-hour workshop at this Whole Life Convention, this Whole Life Expo. And the two-hour workshop will be on the power to create reality. And we're going to talk about this very thing and work on it. It's a workshop. We're going to work on what it is that I'm passionate about, what it is that I'm resisting, letting go of this old stuff, and being able to be clear enough to see life for what it is and to move forward in a positive, clear way and create our reality. Now, I'm going to take a drink here because I'm getting a bit dry. Permanent conditions. That's what I want to talk about next. We're deeply attached to the permanence of things, especially as it relates to our bodies. The thought never occurs to us to change it because we believe it's unchangeable. Now, I'm talking about physical conditions. I'm talking about so many things in our lives that we believe are unchangeable. And they seem unchangeable because we think those thoughts every day. And the next day, the same experience generates. Now, let's take an example of a multiple personality. Multiple personality is someone who, within one body, generates several personalities. Sometimes, it's a medical condition. Sometimes these personalities manifest in many different ways, like one personality will be an adult woman. Another personality will be a 10-year-old child, boy. Another personality will be an old man, for example. And the person that's mainly in control of the body suddenly taken out of control, and another one of these personalities will take over the body. Now, the interesting thing about this multiple personality situation is simply that when one person, say the person that is the woman that normally controls the body, let's say she has diabetes, and suddenly she's taken out of that body and the child, the young boy, comes into the body, the personality completely changes. That body now, in just those few seconds, because of the personality change, the boy does not have diabetes. The body is clear from diabetes. This is true. It's fascinating stuff. Now, if you know, the boy is drinking orange juice and suddenly the old man comes in and the old man is allergic to orange juice, he'll break out in a terrible hive where the young boy had no reaction to it at all. Another issue is that if the young boy takes Let's say the woman in this body takes medicine, and then the young boy comes in, he will overdose on the medicine of an adult, even though it's the same body. It's an adult body. The young one will overdose on the older personality's medicine. So it's completely changeable based on your perceptions of the world, how you see life, and how you see yourself. So the way that things change is by first paying attention to what it is that you resist. What is it that you don't like about your life? You don't like about how you think about yourself. You don't like about the people in your life. You don't like about your job. What are the things that you decide that you don't like? Now, when you catch yourself thinking that, you take a deep breath in and you relax your body. And specifically, you relax your heart. Because that's what tightens the most when you decide you don't like something. Your heart tightens. You get the envelope around your heart literally tightens. I went to a lecture this last summer in Provence, in the south of France, from this Swiss doctor who was talking about this very thing. He was talking about when you resist, the envelope around your heart tightens and pulls because your heart's connected to everything in your system. It actually puts stress and pulls on other areas of your body. And so you end up with issues everywhere in the body based on this idea that the resistance generates this tension. So when you catch yourself in resistance, pretend as though, behave as though, believe as though, this resisted experience is a wave of energy that's just flowing through you. It's like happiness. When you feel happy, feel that, pretend like you're happy and feel that experience of happiness flowing through your body. It just like moves through you as though it was a wave of happiness. There's no resistance there because you don't mind being happy. You like being happy. Now, if you shift it and that the experience changes and it's resisted, it's a resisted experience, it's not something you like, your heart tightens. You push away from the experience. And that hurts you. You know, any oncologist, any cancer doctor will tell you that most often people struggle against cancer. They worry about dying of cancer. They go through the therapy. But every once in a while, you'll hit someone who completely reverses the process, who completely changes the cancer. And, you know, based on what I know about this experience and the concept of cancer and the concept of any negative disease in the body, is it's generated by resistance. Now, cancer obviously has other things involved. There's toxins involved. There's other things. But if you remove the resistance, the body will clean the toxins, which means that from my perspective, the reason that some people can instantly change it is because they decide that nothing is ever going to make them resist life again. Nothing is ever going to make them resist life again in their life. And once they make that decision, what happens is nothing short of a miracle. Because once you live your life as though your body was in happiness all the time, and you catch yourself thinking something negative or resisting, and you just instantly decide to let it go and release it and let it move through your body will heal itself. miraculous thing. Now, it's 8:45 already. Boy, this has gone by quick tonight. And I wanted to do a meditation. Let's see if there's anything else that we... There's so much to cover in this particular this particular show. There's no way to do this. So I think after the Chicago show, the Chicago workshop on the 31st, I think next month in June, probably the middle of June, I'll do the same workshop in Tampa, in the Tampa area, Land O'Lakes area, which is just north of Tampa. If you would like a workshop in your area, give me a call at 813-520-8894. And, you know, with a minimum number of people, minimal number of people, like 10 people, we could possibly do a workshop in your area. So keep that in mind. It's a possibility, of course, no matter where you are. Give me a call and we'll see what we can work out, depending on how many people you can bring together. Now, let me see. Oh, I just want to read this one more slide before we do the meditation. Quantum physics tells us that there is an interconnectedness, an entanglement, that is the defining characteristic of the universe. This is a universal energy that connects and unifies all people and things. We are one. Many years ago, I came across a poem that hopefully I'll be able to remember because I don't have it written down in front of me. But this poem was translated from ancient Arabic, Egyptian Arabic. It was apparently found in Egypt. And it's called Nuk de Nuk, I Am That I Am. And if I can remember it all, I'll recite it for you. Let's see. So I have finally reached my goal and solved the secret of my soul. For I am that to whom I prayed, that to whom I look for aid. I am that whom I did seek. I am my own mountain peak. I upon creation look as a page from my own book, for I am the one the many make, of substance which from me I take, for all is me, there are not two, creation is myself all through. What I want for myself, I do but take from myself, and give it to me, the only one, for I am the Father and the Son. Two in one is what I am, and hell itself is but a dam that I did put in my own stream, when in a nightmare I did dream that I was not the only one, and thus by me was doubt begun, which ran its course till I awoke and found that I with me joke. But now that I do stand awake, my throne I do surely take, and rule my kingdom, which is me, the master, through eternity. I found that poem to be one of the most empowering things I've ever written, read, since it wasn't written by me. One of the most powerful things I've ever read. And I often recite it to myself, because it's so empowering. Let's do a short meditation. So sit back, close your eyes, put your feet on the floor. Take a deep breath into your body. Breathe out slowly, release any stress or tension in the body. Breath in. Slowly release any stress, any tension, until the body is relaxed and heavy. Take a deep breath in and breathe into your feet and your ankles. Any tension or stress until your feet and ankles are heavy, relaxed, and limp. Take a deep breath into your calves and your knees. As you breathe out, I want you to release any stress or tension in your calves and your knees until they're heavy, relaxed, and limp. Take a deep breath into your thighs and your pelvic floor. Fill that area up with air. As you breathe out, I want you to release any tension and stress in that part of your body, in your thighs and pelvic floor, until they're heavy, relaxed, and limp. Now take a deep breath into your lower torso, your lower abdomen, your lower back muscles. Feel that area fill up with air, all the way up to the base of your rib cage. As you breathe out, I want you to release any stress or tension in those muscles until they're heavy, relaxed, and limp. Now take a deep breath into your upper torso, your upper chest muscles, your upper back, all the way up to your shoulders. Fill that area up with air. As you breathe out, release any stress or tension until your upper torso is heavy, relaxed, and limp. Now breathe into the top of your arms, both arms at the same time, from the top of your shoulder, down to your elbows, down to your wrists, the end of your fingers. Fill it up with air. As you breathe out, I want you to release any stress or tension until they're heavy, relaxed, and limp. Now take a deep breath into the back of your neck, bringing the air up around your skull, down your facial muscles, down your neck muscles. As you breathe out, I want you to release any stress or tension in those muscles until they're heavy, relaxed, and limp. Now take a deep breath in and fill your whole body up with air. As you breathe out, any remaining stress or tension in your body is released with the out breath until your body is heavy, relaxed, and limp. Now take a deep breath in, and I want you to put your attention on your heart muscle as though your attention was inside your chest, looking at your heart muscle. To see your heart thudding in and out, moving the blood, pumping the muscles, the muscle pumping the blood through the system. And I want you to consciously relax your heart and let it pump in perfection. Take away all the resistance that you've put there. Forgive yourself. I want you to say to yourself, I forgive you for anything that you've disliked, anything that I've judged, anything that I've felt irritated with, upset by. I forgive you. I forgive myself. Let all of that energy just drain out of your body. It's a river of resistance. Now in your heart muscle, I want you to see it for just a minute as energy. Instead of the actual heart pumping and moving, I want you to pretend in your mind's eye that you see it as energy and you see the particles moving around, so pushing the blood through your body. And as these particles move, I want you to be aware of the divine that's driving them. It's beautiful divinity that's creating this entire body that you believe you are in this moment. Pay attention to the divinity that pumps your heart without your attention normally. That makes you breathe without your attention. Makes you think, that moves your body, that digests your food, produces hormones, that hears sounds, that thinks thoughts, that sees, that feels, that hears. I want you to get this concept of pure divinity. Your body, pure divinity. And I want you to settle in to this concept of you being divine. This idea that you are pure divinity. It's a gift, it's a birthright. You can have whatever you choose. You can have whatever you want. You can be whoever you choose. You can live your potential as you are divine. This is your birthright. This is your right. I want you to imagine looking down in your hand and seeing this beautiful silver key encrusted with jewels laying there in your hand. And you close your hand over this beautiful key because this is yours. This means that you have been given the key to whatever you want. You just have to put your attention on it and put your power of emotion behind it. Love it. Feel grateful for it. Take a deep breath into your body. Feel your body with your back on the chair and your feet on the floor. Feel grateful for this divine light that flows through you. And when you're ready, open your eyes. Thank you so much for being with me tonight on Spiritual Connections Radio, Pamela Latour's Secrets of the Soul. I've enjoyed every moment of tonight. I've loved being with you. Join me again next week on Monday night at 8 o'clock. Until then, may you truly discover the secrets of your soul. Pamela Latour, signing out. Oh.